Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Incompletely Articulate. My name is Phil. Sat near me is Rachel. If you only know us from the internet, that's Filthy and Arcadian Lady.
Yeah, this is our fourth episode of the Incompletely Articulate podcast, where we do for you a poem that we've each written within roughly the last 7 days. Okay, it's your turn to go first. So, do you want to talk a bit about it?
I'll start. Right. So, I don't think it's giving too much away to potential stalkers to point out that between us we live pretty close to the football ground, the Crystal Palace, and there was a notable thing to do with them last week, and that sort of triggered this. So this is a poem about football, which is never an auspicious start because they're predominantly awful, transparent attempts to get real men into art, but bear with me because I'm hoping there's a hint of something worthwhile at its heart. The poem, that is, not the game, though I guess you could suggest they're analogously the same. You see, growing up, it seemed football was just part of the way things are done, and the conveniently located trees in my infant school best friend's garden were just one of the pitches we starred on, like the playground concrete so many knees were scarred on, or the church hall, or the park, or any patch of mud the sunlight hardened. And when you're playing three and in, or 25 a side, anything's pardoned. You can be the worst without fear of being barred, and anyway, somebody else might be better during play, but when the bell rings and we're back in class, I can write some words and do some sums, and it comes easily, and you can say that when you weigh everyone's strengths and weaknesses, we're all more or less okay. And we all know what to say when someone asks, "What team do you support?" Just parrot the retort, "Palace, of course," because what sort of monster wouldn't root for the local sports team? And it would seem that the more you learn, the more you know, the more you care. And before too long, I'm begging to be allowed to be there. And before too much longer, I am there. And even now, it doesn't take too much remembering, and I'm back there. One boy, kind of small in the seemingly vast throng of the members' terrace, enthralled, unable to understand why the visiting supporters booed and ooh-ooh-oohed whenever our black players got the ball. And after I worked out it, I believed for years that everyone from Leeds was an appalling racist. And through the strange mist has blurred together all the games I've been in the crowd for, I know I've never seen Palace win. As an aside, actually, I thought this was true for years, but I have evidence that I once saw them beat Coventry 2-1, and Jack or Chris might listen to this, so I can't let that go unmentioned. Anyway, I know that in 1990, football was my everything. I was so caught up in that amazing spring, Palace at Wembley and the World Cup in Italy, every match of which I was glued to so avidly. But it was later that year that I first played the saxophone, and it crept up incrementally, but a few years had flown by, and I realised my love for music had grown to the extent that I was leaving older loves alone. And add to that the influence of pubescent hormones making me aware of all the lips I'd never kissed. Let's just call it puppy lust, I'm sure you'll get the gist. And the songs and poetry I wrote so someone noticed I exist. And a growing sense of darkness it grew harder to resist, persisting and persuading me if I went I'd not be missed. And even myriad other sports I'd previously dismissed, saw soccer slipping silently and slowly down my list of priorities. I never decided not to care, but I had finite passion and it got a smaller share. I remember how I said I'd never won while I was there. So I justified indifference as being for their good, and the way my life went wasn't the way my small boy self thought it would. Come with me as I fast forward to now. I'm a confused mess of far too many heights of brow. I want to care for more things than one lifetime will allow. I've not seen football on TV in I don't know how long, and recently was forced to confess I could name less Premiership footballers than members of the Shadow Cabinet or members of the Peter Brootsman Chicago Tentet. So this week, when the whole town cheered that rooting for the home team meant reflected success this year, I knew I'd not invested enough in the pain to really share the joy. But how could I explain that to the 9-year-old boy I used to be? You see, when I said at the start this was a football poem, I lied, because football's just the outer shell with melted mess inside, like a Smartie with my heart in. I wrote this poem because the playoffs made me realize I'm not just not who I was, but I'm also not who I imagined I would be, and I couldn't justify that to the small boy that was me.
That's really good. I really like that.
Thank you, Rachel.
How do you feel that went?
Yeah, I think it needs some proper editing still. I think it's still a bit of a sprawling mess, and some ideas emerge and don't quite come to fruition, and some other things stay about a bit too long. There's some pacing issues, but I think generally it's quite good.
Yeah, good.
I thought it was very contrasting to last time when I had these little things that were honed and they felt right, you know? Whereas this feels very splodgy.
But I suppose, like, kind of passion for things is splodgy, isn't it? It's not like you can't sort of choose what you're passionate about, and then it just kind of comes out in bursts and explodes when you're really into something, you find something you love. You don't always have to rationalize it and sort of kind of, you know, in poetry terms, get the syllables exactly and all that stuff. Like, I think it's quite a good reflection of that.
So what do you have for us this week, Rachel?
Okay, I have one this week that, again, is obviously not as long as that. I didn't come up with the title again. Last week it was about general sort of coupleness and stuff. And I said, I didn't really want to write about this specific someone. But I asked him this week and he said it was fine. So it's all go from here. And I sort of sent him like the first sort of three, like took a picture of my notebook and was like, is this all right? And I've had the knock. So I'm going to read it out for you. You thought I was weirdly perfect. I thought you were great. I said we seemed to fit together. You said I was tempting fate. You came round to watch a film and both my brothers were in. I made awkward introductions. You wore your nervous grin. I went to meet you in the pub. I was half an hour late. You pretended to sulk and moaned at how I'd made you wait. I came round to watch TV and met your dad and mum. You gave me half your sandwich. I shared my chewing gum. I got the conundrum on Countdown. You played the numbers game. You worried I thought you were boring, but I said I was glad that I came. We sit out in the garden drinking cider in the setting sun. It's when we do nothing together that we have the most fun. I don't know your whole life story, and you haven't heard all of mine. We're still finding our pace together, and for once it actually feels fine.
Yeah. You know, actually, to some extent, that's got connection with what I did last week, because it's all about, you've got these little concrete, tangible things, and they're sort of implying the way you feel about them. I was really, you capture the image, you capture the moment, and the moments become the reality, you know, the little snapshots.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt, like, sort of each little, like, kind of four lines was, like, about, like, an actual thing. Because I tend to, if I try and write about, like, feelings in, like, the abstract, it can just get too dark and twisted very quickly. So I try and keep it at least based in reality at the beginning.
And, you know, they're snapshots, but my friend Rose and I have this theory that actually, no matter how big or small a time frame you take of your story, as a fraction of the infinity of time, it's always going to be small, and there's always going to be background you have to infer, and there's always going to be future you have to wonder about. But you take whatever chunk of time you've got, and so what you've done there, you've taken all these moments, and you know for each one there's backstory and there's future.
Yeah. But it's focusing
but
on the
now. To some extent, it doesn't matter. You know, you can weave those bits in between them. You can extrapolate and interpolate. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I don't think there's anything else I have to say apart from just plug it.
Plug.
So we're at Incompletely Art on Twitter.
Incompletelyarticulate.tumblr.com. You can find us on the iTunes if that is the sort of thing you like to do.
Yeah.
You can find us on the SoundCloud and the Podbeans.
But if you follow our Tumblr or our Twitter, then we link to all of them as soon as we put them out. So
yes, and we get nice statistics about how many people like us just on the screen.
Oh, do we?
On the Twitter following.
Oh yeah.
It's like a verifiable way of counting how
it's
much you're loved,
thing.
Isn't it?
Yeah. So please, love us more so we can get our numbers up.
Goodbye on that.
Yeah, bye. Worst goodbye so far?
Easily.
Excellent.